Recession fears circle the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this morning as we track the fallout from the financial crisis. So much for last week's optimism. Poor corporate earnings in the U.S. and abroad are taking their toll. Asian stocks hit multi-year lows today. Major European markets are off another 1 to 3%. The Dow fell hard yesterday, 514 points. S&P dropped 6% to its lowest level in 5-plus years. The Nasdaq lost almost 5%. All of this in spite of some improvement in the world credit markets. Automakers are really hurting. Billionaire Kurt Kerkorian sold off part of his stake in Ford, and other investors followed his lead. Chrysler and GM are talking merger, but financing that deal won't be easy. Yesterday, Michigan's congressional delegation asked the federal government to help Detroit's carmakers and lenders, which brings up that word again, bailout. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The auto industry already got help from Washington this year in the form of $25 billion in loan guarantees. Still, in an interview with CNBC last week, Chrysler CEO Robert Nardelli was asked straight up, do the automakers need more?
Well, I mean, I think that remains to be seen. We're doing everything we know how to do.
Nardelli wouldn't comment on a possible merger with GM, but Jesse Toprak, an industry analyst at Edmunds.com, says consolidation won't get the auto industry out of its current jam.
Any kind of collaborations in the short term actually costs more money sometimes because you have to eliminate dealerships, you have to eliminate jobs. In the short term, that means a lot of cash outflow.
So is more government intervention needed? David Cole is chairman of the Center for Automotive Research. He says allowing any of the big three to fail would be far worse than propping up the industry with taxpayer dollars.
You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Cole says job losses in Detroit could cascade to dealerships and suppliers, and he says a major failure would likely lead to more than a million layoffs nationwide. Cole claims cost-cutting and the falling price of oil have put the industry on the threshold of a golden era. If only private investors weren't so scared. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The credit crisis is ravaging currencies across the globe. One bright spot for American consumers is that the dollar is at five-year highs against some currencies. That means your money goes further overseas and across the border. Omer Essner is a currency analyst at Roush International. Omer, what has surprised you most as you watch the foreign exchange markets?
Well, I think really the scope of the moves that we've seen is really unprecedented. You know, a 35% move in the Icelandic currency against the euro in one day. We've seen the Mexican peso decline by as much as 20% against the U.S. dollar in one day. So I think the velocity of the moves that we've seen has caught many, including myself, off guard. We had been looking for the dollar to strengthen across the board from its lows in mid-summertime, but really I don't think anybody expected the scope of the moves to be as violent and as one-sided as they have been.
One of the very few bright spots in our economy has been exports because the formerly weak dollar was making American goods more affordable overseas. What is a strong dollar going to do to our wobbly economy?
It's most likely that a stronger dollar will probably have a negative impact on the U.S. economy, given the downward pressure that it's going to likely put on exports. And I think that's a story that we're going to be looking at somewhere down the road.
Omer Essner, currency analyst with Roush, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bantam Books, publisher of The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, The Biography of a Man and His Ideas by Alice Schroeder, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
American International Group, AIG, has agreed to freeze $19 million in compensation for a former chief executive and $600 million for other execs. The U.S. government, as you know, bailed out AIG. New York's attorney general has told the company to stop extravagant spending and recover millions in unreasonable payments or face legal action. As part of the government takeover, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson brought in an old friend, Ed Liddy, former chair of Allstate Insurance, to help right the ship at AIG.
The boss will see you now.
Today on Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal talks to Liddy about the challenge of rescuing AIG and having U.S. taxpayers as his new boss.
Is there a chance that AIG might still fail after all of this?
You know, never is a big word. I think we've got it well in hand. The federal government's idea was to help AIG emerge from this crisis in an orderly way. And I think we're doing exactly that. So thanks to the life preserver that they've thrown us, I think we've made good progress. And I think the chances are very, very remote.
What's your sense of obligation then to the group of people who are now your biggest shareholder, the American taxpayer?
Well, I want to repay them. We, the people of AIG, we want to repay them every single penny that we have to borrow. We want to repay them their interest. And then in the current structure coming out of this, the government will own 80% of the company. Whether that continues going forward or not, I don't know. I think the government approach to financial companies in distress, if you look at it, it certainly has evolved over time from when Fannie and Freddie first got in trouble to what they've done for the bank. So whether we're able to participate in some of the more contemporary versions of what they've done to save companies or not remains to be seen.
How long is it going to take before AIG is a completely healthy, functioning company?
You know, I would think by the end of next year. The assets that we have to sell, we'd like to sell sooner rather than later. And I think we can make real progress paying down that debt early in mid part of next year or so. So I think by the end of 2009, you'll see AIG emerge as a different entity, but a very healthy entity.
Where's the culpability here for this mess that we find ourselves in? Because people out there want to blame somebody.
Yeah, you know, I'm not about, Kai, I'm not about looking backwards. I am all about the future and trying to solve the problem. There'll come a point in time when probably others smarter than me can begin to answer that question. Right now, all of my energies go towards the future, towards seizing the future for this company and our employees.
Ed Liddy, the CEO of AIG. Mr. Liddy, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow will open at 85.19 after a 514-point drop. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.